Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more. Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio. We're doing a special August 2014 pre-record. We're doing a North Fork Long Island with some of the great new breweries out here. It's a special show. We traveled out to North Fork. We're at the new Greenport Harbor Brewery in Peconic, New York, which is pretty awesome. It's going to be one of the better tasting rooms in the whole North Fork. So just getting warmed up here. We're doing a pre-record. Jack's on the other end, the engineer. Just want to say, hey, hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We're doing a special pre-record in August 2014 at the Greenport Harbor Brewery in Peconic, New York, and we're talking about North Fork, Long Island craft beer community. All right, so thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com, and here we are out in North Fork, Long Island. First, let's talk with the guys from Greenport Harbor. Rich and DJ, you guys have expanded. You opened up a new facility here. Tell me a little bit about the backstory on that, because you guys have been making out here for a few years. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jimmy. Cheers. So we a couple of years ago realized that we were going to run out of production space in Greenport, the actual Greenport location. It's only 1,800 square feet out there. So we managed as best we could. We looked around for a new location, tried to find another spot in Greenport, but just couldn't find any place that really made sense that was big enough. So we were kind of lucky to spot this place in Peconic, which is only about 6 miles up the road in this town of Southold. And it has about 3 acres of property kind of in the heart of the wine trail, surrounded by, you know, vineyards and farmland and stuff. So it's a great location. And old car dealership that was built back in 1925 by the Vale brothers. And we actually met the grandson of the original owner. He's 92, and he came into the tasting room the other week and brought some pictures, and it was pretty hilarious. But it was awesome. John and I and family, friends, great people have worked on the construction, did everything ourselves, and it's really cool to be able to repurpose an old building and make it functional again. So we're really excited, and we're going to be able to brew a lot more beer here.
This is pretty special. I drove by the other day two times, and every time I saw this building, I said, that's got to be the brewery. And this is like the best location in this part of the North Fork.
It's a nice location because it is right on Route 25. Peconic Lane is kind of the cross street, so it's kind of a feeder for both the north and south, main drags. So it is a great location. We're really excited. And, all of our neighbors have been great, so we're pumped.
All right. We also have Greg Martin from Long Island. You're based in Riverhead, which is also out here in the North Fork. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
So we're drinking one of your beers right now. What are we drinking?
This is we call Trinity IPA. We actually just released this beer on Friday, August, I think it was the 2nd. Mm-hmm. So we just released it. It's just kind of a one-off that we did. It's brewed with Magnum Bittering hops and Simcoe and Amarillo hops through it. And it's definitely a lighter IPA versus our year-round available one. 6.2% ABV, about 60 bitterness units. And we wanted it to have this kind of clean up front taste and just really have a nice hop finish to it, nice hop aroma to it. So we're pretty happy with it. So it's unfiltered. It's just kind of natural, out there IPA.
We've had your beers around. I saw them at a few local bars out here. How is the community responding to you being a local brewer? I mean, are you on taps at a lot of bars and restaurants?
Yeah, we're very fortunate. The east end of the island, specifically the North Fork, has been, I think, super supportive of all of the breweries, all of the local breweries. There's some definitely better beer bars that are opening up, and And more craft, you know, is definitely popping up. And you know, between Greenport and Mustache and us and a couple other local guys out here, it's definitely, you know, the availability and the options are definitely increasing for everybody.
Well, it's pretty awesome. Rich and DJ, we're sitting here in your tasting room, still being constructed. It's an awesome bar.
Pardon the hammering.
Yeah. And people driving by. We also have Laurie and Matt from Mustache Brewing. You guys are a newer, really small brewery.
Yes.
Also in Riverhead.
Yep. Yep.
So tell us a little about how you guys got started and what you're doing.
I mean, we started, you know, 10 years ago almost as homebrewers, you know, just like a lot of us. You know, a few years ago we got the bug to not work in a cubicle anymore, or just not, you know, work for anyone else, you know. And we wanted to start our own business and you know, the time was right in the market and in our lives, and just we wanted to just go for it. So we did a Kickstarter, and that was about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that we raised about $31,000 on Kickstarter, and that was our seed money to get us going. And from there, it's just been in trying to find a building and then finding a building and then doing all the build-out and construction. Like these guys know, it's, you know, it's a time-consuming process, and especially when you're doing all the work.
Yeah, we did everything ourselves.
Ourselves, just the friends of... the help of friends and family.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to save costs, really.
Yeah.
So out here with Nico Kremidis, a good beer writer and buddy. So out here in North Fork, not too long ago, there weren't any breweries. And suddenly you guys have... you've got a little scene going on. You've had to work together closely in some areas. So let's talk about things that you guys have collaborated on and, you know, some anecdotes. And Nico, you want to say anything about the scene out here in North Fork?
Yeah, I mean, you know, over the last few years, especially in Riverhead, Crooked Ladder, who isn't here right now, but they're also another brewery in Riverhead, and it seems to kind of go hand in hand. I don't know if Greg and Matt and Laurie agree with the redevelopment of the town of Riverhead in itself.
Sure.
And, just on the North Fork, it's nice to see beer being represented because it's been, you know, wine country for so long.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I mean, when I come out here, there's so many wineries, and some of them are, I think, national, you know, reputation. There's Pominock, which I get a lot, in particular. So what's the community like for you guys? I mean, you're working together. When I go out to bars and restaurants, I mean, are they buying your beer? Can I get them in local bars and restaurants? And tell me some of the places that I can buy your product out here.
Well, I mean, I can say with regard to the wineries, I mean, it's, you know, at first, when we first kind of opened our doors, there was still kind of a pushback by a lot of the wineries because there's a lot of, you know, tasting rooms associated with the wineries on the North Fork. I forget the number. It's some, you know, it's like 48 different wineries, I think, on the North Fork or something. But at first, there was a lot of pushback, you know, oh, you know, beer is not wine, and wine is different than beer. But I think that in the past couple of years, they finally kind of realized that, you know what, if we serve some beer in our tasting room alongside the wine, you probably would capture a few more, you know, fans, and or people would maybe stay longer, because if they're with somebody who's maybe not a wine person who's looking for a beer. So we've had great success and built a lot of great relationships with all the wineries on the North Fork, so... as far as, you know, the North Fork wineries go, I mean, elsewhere.
Well, we've also done two beers with some wineries out here. We used grapes from Martha Clara a couple years ago. We did a beer with some Sauvignon Blanc grapes and fresh pressed juice. And then last year we did a new version of the same beer, but we used Merlot from McCall Vineyards out here on the North Fork. So it's gotten, I think, pretty friendly. Everyone's certainly interested, and a lot of the winemakers have come in. I've seen a bunch of them in the tasting room pretty frequently. I know we're on tap somewhere in most of the wineries, or a lot of the wineries, not always out in the public eye, but the beer's kicking around.
So, DJ, how's it for you? I mean, when we first met, you were the brewer at the original location in Greenport, New York, and now you're opening this larger brewery. What are some of the challenges that you faced, and some new beers that we can look forward to seeing?
This is definitely a much more high-tech brewery than Greenport. It's a big step up. I'm still trying to figure out how it all works. And where everything's going to go. You know, we're still waiting on stuff to arrive, and it's certainly a fun challenge as a brewer trying to figure out how to make a new brewery operate the way you want it to.
But we've been brewing.
We're making beer.
Batch 6 or 7 we've been brewing.
Yeah, 10.
10? Okay, see, there you go. It's happening faster than I realized.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Greenport's been open so long, it's kind of become second nature. You know, kind of walk in there, bang out a batch, you know, day's work, and not quite remember what you did here. I have to think about everything. So it's fun. It's something different. And hopefully with the new brewery running and the old brewery running at the same time, we'll be able to do a lot more limited stuff, more interesting beers that, you know, we've been so challenged to keep up with production so far. Now we'll be able to do more of those, the geek type beers that people are looking for, the harder to find, you know, maybe appeals to a smaller audience, but we'll be able to do more of that stuff.
Greg Martin from Long Island. So you've been out to this new brewery, Greenport Harbor, a few times.
Yes.
What do you think about the systems? Because it's kind of sophisticated.
It's sophisticated, and, you know, it's brewer's envy is the best way, you know, to describe it. You know, we've had a great relationship with Rich and John and with DJ and kind of the whole Greenport crew. And really, even stemming back to when we were all getting into the business, first actually met these guys. We were at a craft brewers conference in March of 2009 up in Boston. And my business partner, Dan, and I were kind of up there and bounced around this trade show. And we're sitting down to grab some lunch. And they came. We'd kind of... Hey, waved to him through the conference, but then they sat down and we had the four of us had lunch together. So we're just kind of spitballing about our ideas. We're both getting ready. We're just both on the cusp of starting to make beer. And we saw each other throughout the conference, and on the ferry ride back from Boston, we just got drunk on the ferry, the four of us. So that was kind of the glue that cemented the relationship. And it's always, and when we were first starting out and we didn't have our keg washer running, we'd run out to kegs out to the Greenport facility and then let us wash and run some kegs over there. And we've borrowed, you know, when we've run out of certain chemicals. So we have this nice relationship and that's kind of carried through to everybody on the North Fork with Mustache and with Crooked Ladder. And we've all been able to kind of beg, borrow, and steal when we need to from each other. And we also have that professional courtesy, whereas we all make sure we take care of each other. You know, it's I'm never going to step on their toes. They're never going to step on mine, which is, you know, nice in this day and age to have that type of community, whereas you've got each other's backs. You can be in a business that you're business competitors, but you're not competing with each other. So, we come into this. We're super excited for them because they're our friends. And then, of course, like I said, there's the brewer's envy when you walk in and you see this, you know, gorgeous, brand-new, high-tech 30-barrel system with touch screens and alarms that will go off if something goes wrong, you know. Because you're all looking to get to that step eventually. So it's exciting. We're very excited. We were out here on 4th of July for the soft opening and, you know, my wife on the ride out said, I know what's going to happen. You're going to get in the car when we leave. You're going to go, oh, I wish I had this. Oh, I wish I had that. And I was like, she's like, you got 20 minutes to bitch and whine. And after that, you got to stop. So I was like, all right, that's fair. That's fair deal.
Well, that's pretty cool. You're talking about, so one thing about the North Fork, so there's ferries. You can get to New England from here. You got wineries nearby. And you also have people growing hops too, don't you?
Hops, yeah. I mean, there's everything out here. I mean, there's a lot of farm to table restaurants that are coming up now. Obviously, we're sitting in the middle of farms all around us, so it's definitely, you know, and even to see the tourism aspect of that because of the agricultural end. And when we look at the beer side, we are agricultural in a sense. Because of the ingredients that we're using. And you know, Justin Wisnowski, who works for Greenport, his family has a farm out here, you know, and they're growing hops along with, you know, fruits and vegetables. So it's a pretty awesome little life cycle that goes on out here, and it's constantly growing.
That's cool. Shouldn't this be a hard hat tasting, Rich?
Maybe.
The guy over there, like, sawing something. And, no, it's okay. No. It's part of the background. But
let me know.
And you guys, Matt and Lori, too, I mean, where are you guys getting your ingredients? Are you using any local ingredients? Or just,
I don't know if the listeners can tell, Jimmy, but we're all painting at the same time.
I'm actually installing a sink right now, like to put that on the record. So we're it's been hard actually getting the, even being such a small brewery, we're a 2-barrel brewery. It has been hard trying to keep up with the just getting, you know, the local hops and the local malt. Pretty much everyone is out of everything. You know, but we are going to be getting some hops from, you know, different farms across the North Fork come this season, which is pretty much September we're looking at. We're getting malt from another maltster upstate. They don't grow it there, but they're malting it. It's a farmhouse malt and brewery. So it's another husband and wife operation. They just...
Yeah, we know those guys. They're right by Finger Lakes.
Yeah. They're over in Ithaca. And, you know, they just also opened a small brewery and tasting room on their malting facility as well.
So are you guys just selling at your tasting room? Or do you still have accounts in Riverhead?
So we'd love to sell the more accounts, but we can't make enough beer right now, which is a problem. So pretty much, I mean, our tasting room is open 5 days a week right now. And so pretty much selling through the tasting room, but we do have a handful of about 10 accounts that when we do have enough beer, we rotate through them. We just can't keep up. We have a waiting list right now.
So what are some of the places that you would be selling to in North Fork?
Mostly in Riverhead. So we're on at Dark Horse and Diggers usually in Riverhead. And then that's pretty much it for the North Fork.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just rotated through a couple other places across the island to try to just spread it out, actually kind of away from the North Fork for people who aren't out here. So we're on at, usually at like Hoptron and Patchogue, Tap and Barrel in Smithtown, Good Life in Massapequa Park, Cortland and Bayshore. So those are the main places. You're not always on. It's just when we have kegs, we call them, and they gladly put us on.
All right. Cheers to you guys. Greg, what's the beer that we're drinking again?
This is our Trinity IPA. And just released this beer last Friday, so it's a new one for us.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're doing a special pre-record in August at the new Greenport Harbor Brewery in Peconic, New York. We got some great guys here. We got John, DJ, and Rich from Greenport Harbor, Greg from Long Island, and Matt and Lori from Mustache, and our good buddy Nico Kremitas, who helped put this whole show together. And it's kind of fun. We're out here. We're next to wineries, hop farms, not too far from the ferry to New England. We're getting a little bit of the North Fork character. But most of all, these guys are pioneers out here in North Fork, and they're working together to help create a great craft beer community. So, Lori and Matt from Mustache, you guys just poured a beer. Let's talk a little bit more about the beers that you guys are making.
Sure.
All right, so this one that we're drinking now is our summertime beer. It's a Mojito Pale Ale. It's brewed with fresh lime. I don't know why I'm looking at it like I could tell you something. It's brewed with fresh limes, fresh mint. So we hand zest all the limes, we hand juice them, we chop up all the mints. I love and hate this beer at the same time.
Tastes like a ginger beer or something.
Really? Mm.
Yeah, it's very like, doesn't it taste a little like ginger, Nico?
I get a lot of mint out of
mint,
it.
Yeah.
It's you, Jimmy. Sorry.
This is a great beer. So tell us about, when you guys got started, tell us about how this community of brewers helped you or you guys worked together.
Sure. I mean, just in the whole process of trying to open a brewery, we definitely had leaned on, a lot of the resources out here, like Ben and Greg at Long Island. They helped us out a lot, and just being able to pick their brain on how they started things and what they did, and just going to other breweries, it's a community. Like, it wasn't a lot of, you know, of secrets. No. I can't tell you that. Like, a lot of people are kind of open on how they do things and what worked for them, which we find that, you know, you don't find a lot in other industries. This is one of the only industries where we are competition, but it's a community.
Yeah, I mean, Dan and Greg are part of the reason that we're out in Riverhead. We had initially wanted to be closer to the city, and we had a place in Nassau, and after 5 months working out this lease, it came down to one day the lawyer called us, and he's like, I need you to check your email and call me back right away. And you're like, oh, shit, that's never good. You know, and it turned out it was from the landlord. It was like, you can sign this lease the way it is today, or we can just have nothing to do with you. And we're like, seriously? So we didn't have a good feeling about it. We just cut it loose. And then, you know, that was, I guess, like the fall of 2013?
Yeah.
12?
So how'd you end up in Riverhead? I mean, did you know this area?
We actually had no desire initially to be out here because it was just so far. I mean, we grew up in, you know, we lived in East Islip our whole lives, and we wanted it to be close to where we grew up, like our friends and family. And so I think I came out here, like, right after, it was on Black Friday, and I just, like, walked in, and I must have had this look on, and on my face when I walked in. I was miserable that day. And they're like, so, you looking in Riverhead? I was like, I don't know, should I be? Like, just really, like, desperate feeling at that point. You know, but after talking to them and, you know, because we had called. I had called pretty much every other township after the Belmore location fell through. And every town was like, oh, that's like being a bar. We got to do a parking study. You got to go for a zoning board. And we're like, we don't want to do that. We just want to make beer, you know? And, you know, Dan and Greg were like, you should totally check it out here. You know, the town's great. So I left, and then, like, I'm on the expressway, and 5 minutes later, Dan calls me. He's like, can you come back? I'm like, is everything all right? And he's like, yeah, the town supervisor's here and, you know, wants to meet you because you're thinking about it. I'm like, all right, let's turn around. And town supervisor's there picking up his keg for the week or something.
Allegedly.
Sorry. And, you know, so I spoke with him, and he was like, you know, we'd be more than happy to have you guys out here. Whatever you guys need, whatever we can do to make it easy for you to come here, let us know. You know, we were like, seriously? I called Matt in the car. I'm like, I'm not sure what just happened, but I think we should think about Riverhead, you know. So we started looking, and actually the first place in Riverhead we looked at, it was smaller than what we wanted, but we were like, screw it, let's just take it, you know, I gotta start somewhere. And that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know
what, and a lot of our listeners are homebrewers, and some of them consider, you know, turning pro. So what size space did you get? What size space did you get? How big of a system do you have, and do you guys still have day jobs?
So we're, our space is 1400 square feet. We're on a 2-barrel system with actually the it's the Blickman system with the extensions on the pods, for any homebrewers out there who may know about that. So we can do 2-barrel batches, but all of our batches get split up into 2 1-barrel tanks, which is a pain in the ass. But we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like our system is homebrewing on steroids.
Yeah.
You know, it's 3 big pots, and that's pretty much it.
There's definitely people who have this in their garage for fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You guys still have day jobs, too?
No. So last summer, my job closed, and I had a really flexible job where I could just tell my boss, like, hey, I got to go jackhammer out a floor today and meet the plumber, so I'm not going to be in. So once we closed, I just couldn't find anything that offered any sort of flexibility. I definitely think that was part of the huge, like, turning point for getting the brewery open, was me being able to be there every day, like a full-time job. And then Matt just quit his job in
about 2 months ago,
May. Yeah. Right,
yeah, right there.
Mostly because we were just getting burnt out.
I had to.
It was 40 hours a week there, 60 hours a week at the brewery. Is there even 100 hours in a week? I don't even know. I don't know. We were sleeping at the brewery. It was getting bad. We were like, gotta do something about this. So yeah.
Yeah. You know, the typical American works 100 hours a week. Did you know that?
No.
Well, you do if you own your own business. Isn't that true?
Lazy.
So, Greg, what did you think when you met them and they were getting started? Like, what advice did you give them? And
Well, again,
you definitely told us not to.
We definitely
do it.
Told them not
multiple
to do
times
it.
Too.
We gave them all of the appropriate warnings one would give, but we had known them for years prior to them opening the brewery, just from the beer community. They were in the local beer clubs, the home brewery clubs, and Long Island Beer and Malt Enthusiasts, which is, you know, a pretty large beer club on Long Island. So we knew them. We were friends with them already on a social level. So, again, it was very much, you know, even prior to the whole North Fork community thing, when we were starting, we were talking with, you know, Mark and Pete at Blue Point. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's always been this progression of other breweries helping out, you know, the guys that are coming into it. And we were fortunate and had that. And that, you know, that's how we got started also. So we always, you know, felt the obligation to kind of pay that forward. Because I don't know that we would have been started if someone didn't give us.
So you started also like in a small space at first, didn't you?
We actually started out Gypsy Brewing at New England Brewing in Connecticut. So for the first 10 months, we would go to Connecticut every Saturday and brew our beer in basically a tank that we were leasing. So we were Gypsy Brewing out of Connecticut and self-distributing the beer. So that was kind of the first 10 months that we were doing that. And then we had pushed one of our brands up to contract while we were building the facility until May of 11, where we pulled everything in-house and we do all of our own brewing and everything at the facility. So, again, if we didn't have that relationship to start out with Rob from New England Brewing and the relationship when we were buying used kegs from Mark and Pete at Blue Point, I don't know where we would have been or what our timeline would have been either. So, you know, that's, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of expense you realize that you save by having those relationships. So, and much like the North Fork Wine Trail is, we know that the more of us there are out here, A, the better that our community is, and it's also better from a business standpoint. You know, somebody may not want to drive to Riverhead to go to one brewery for a tasting. There's now three within a half a mile of each other. And then now you've got Greenport, which kind of breaks up from Riverhead to the original Greenport location with the new Peconic location. So you've got this beer trail that's now starting on the North Fork, which is pretty awesome. People can come out and make a day of it. You know, it's not driving to come to go to Greenport or go to Long Island Riverhead. It's now they can hit, you know, five locations in one day and go out and make a whole day of it, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, we find a lot of that. Like in our tasting room, we find a lot of people that come out from the city or they're on the island for a couple of days and they want to get almost like get the most bang for their buck. Like, all right, sweet, I can hit three breweries that are all within a 5-minute walk of each other and then shoot out to a winery, to Greenport, you know. It's also, I'm finding too, to go back to the wineries, that there's a lot of happy mediums now. It's like the group has got a couple of people who want to hit a winery, a couple of people who want to get a brewery. So you're able to do all of that in the same trip. So they'll either, you know, go one place and then hit another. And it's kind of like everyone's happy, you know. Also with the
or drunk.
Or yeah. That's pretty much
or
it.
Drunk and happy.
You know. Hopefully. I mean, we even get a whole bunch of people that get dropped off at the brewery while their wives go shopping at the outlets, which is also nice.
It's a wonderful thing. You know?
So I have a question. So when is the North Fork collaboration beer coming?
It's a great question.
Well, you know, you guys did a great, I mean, it was after Sandy, you made that great collaboration beer for Barrier. Tell us about that, Nico, because that was kind of how we all first met.
Yeah, Surge Protector, after Hurricane Sandy hit and Barrier got demolished, I think 8 breweries came together, and we brewed a beer called Surge Protector at Blue Point and raised money for Barrier and Long Island Cares. And yeah, it was a great thing. We raised, I think, over $30,000 for Barrier.
That's great. Well, Lori and Matt, you just poured a second beer for us. What's this?
This is the Franco.
It's the Franco America. You gotta say it.
Franco America.
Like America.
The spaghettis, spaghettios.
Not America. Spaghettios. Yeah, we did. That was an afterthought. People were like, wait, is that a spaghetti?
I had a brewfest like, in Prairie. They did a collaboration. They actually put some. They called Spaghetti Western. They actually put spaghetti in the brew. But that's getting weird.
I don't know
how I feel about having all the ingredients and putting in donuts. I know Evil Twin's doing a beer with donuts.
Right.
I'm still happy to see like local hops. If anything, I want to have more local hops and local grain and base beers. And a lot of my customers actually want to just have a nice grain malt, you know, grain bill kind of beer.
Yeah.
This is pretty. So why is it Franco American?
So it's actually a happy accident beer.
Yes. This beer is actually our pale ale, just our standard American pale ale. But since we do split every batch up into two tanks, we ferment one tank with standard American ale yeast, and then the other tank we use a French saison yeast, which gives it its kind of peppery, spice character. But it's not a straight saison. You do get, it's American pale ale, so you get all of that citrusy, hop character.
So you're just working with hops, grain, and yeast.
Right, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
No so flavors, no, no fruit, nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, and here it's just all that peppery character from that French yeast. And this started when I had a batch of our pale ale that actually had an issue with the... We have a fermentation that got stuck, it stalled. So the French yeast, it will eat through everything. So I pitched that in just to finish it out. And I knew it wasn't going to be our pale ale. I had to do something else with it. But it came out pretty cool because it wasn't a saison. It wasn't a straight, it had a different character to it.
So for the brewer, so is do French yeast, like saison yeast, have that power?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in what way? DJ, you want to tell me about... Have you worked with saison yeast?
Yeah, we do a saison. That's our spring seasonal. we've used... actually, the first couple of years we did it, we used the French saison yeast, which is a little bit fruitier than the traditional Belgian saison yeast. Not quite as dry. And we've been using, a saison blend in the last couple of years, but you do get a lot of spicy notes, get some of that pepper. I get some interesting, I always think apple juice sort of flavors when we use the French yeast. It's good stuff. We do the spring turning rye saison is our spring seasonal, and then we also ferment a beer that was originally based on our porter recipe, and it's a black saison. Just to really twist those flavors.
You got the black duck porter, then you made it saison stuff.
Canard Noir.
Canard Noir, yeah.
That's a great beer.
Very tricky.
It started just as black duck, kind of like this, the same beer fermented with a different yeast. I mean, we have changed it a little bit over the years just to bring it a little more in line with the saison. But it's still just a black saison, just a little twist on those normal flavors.
When the original brewery you had, which you still have in Greenport, right? So you can it's still going to be open. You're going to do small batches there.
Yeah, we're pulling the...
You can still have the tasting room open.
Tasting room will be there. We're pulling the big fermenters out. We're putting in some smaller 15-barrel fermenters to go with that brew house. So we'll be covering two breweries. I'm still doing the brewery shuffle. Pretty much every day, at least one trip down to Greenport, usually to get clamps, hoses, something that I'm missing here at this brewery. But... the plan is for the new brewery is to start doing a lot more fun stuff.
You got to be hands-on, right? I mean, everything here is like tinkering, and it's a lot of equipment.
A lot of equipment. I find I spend less time making beer now than I used to. I find I'm doing a lot more climbing up on the roof and spending a lot more time in front of a computer. But we're getting by, and we just brought in Joe Hayes is our new. Relatively new brewer along with me, and he's picking up my slack, which is great. He's like a formally trained brewmaster, so it was very little learning curve for him to pick up where we're at and just run.
So there is it's one thing being a home brewer and making a small batch. Once you get to what size brewery are you guys down?
So the new brew house is 30 barrels. We have a mix of 90 and 30 barrel fermenters. Definitely
so
a
there
big
is
boy.
Additional training that's required, maybe. Changing recipes, perhaps?
We're kind of working through that right now. We're starting to bring over the full-time beers here. We just brewed our first batch of Harbor Ale at the new brewery. And so far, we're very happy with it, although I haven't tasted it yet today, so who knows. But we started brewing our leaf pile over here this year. The fall seasonal will all be brewed at the new brewery. Hopefully brewing our first batch of porter, the Black Duck Porter, here at the new brewery tomorrow. Definitely, adjusting for the new brew house, but I think so far we're doing all right.
I think too, the skill and experience that DJ has, and now with Joe, it's it's one thing to size up to a larger size brew house, but it's the experience and the knowledge that they have when you encounter that little thing that kind of trips you up to manage that and get around it and still kind of, you know, proceed in a way that, you know, the whole thing isn't going down the drain, you know, which is really cool. The other thing I just wanted to mention is we're actually we just launched our internship program again for 2014 when we are going to look to hire a couple interns in the fall.
So I can come here and clean kegs
you could
things down?
Absolutely.
Do you have an automatic keg washing machine to do it by hand?
Yeah, it's a semi-automatic. Yeah.
So I can do that too,
you
right?
You can do that too.
All right. Well, wait, before we take our break, so this show will be airing August 19th. Will the tasting room be open to the public by Labor Day or in September?
We're certainly hope so. We're open now. We're allowed to operate now. But the last little thing that we're still struggling with is the town issuing the various additional final little things to allow us to theoretically come inside the building.
Well, you know, we've heard about that. We know we work with Governor Cuomo's office, and they're really pushing to get brewery licenses passed quickly on the state level.
Right.
But we've found that most of the communities, whether it's the building department or zoning, don't really know what breweries are. You think that's the case?
It is the case, and certainly I can only speak to, you know, our experience thus far with South Old Town. I mean, I know Sean Walter in Riverhead, who's the supervisor in Riverhead, and I know that he's very, like, progressive-minded, or he sees the opportunity here to build a kind of a further economic base for Riverhead, especially downtown Riverhead, which kind of struggles to compete with the mall area, strip mall area, yeah, up on 48. But South Old Town's been, I will say, they've been pretty good. But the problem is, you know, you want people to think kind of like creatively and be able to kind of like get from point A to point Z without having to go all the way through the alphabet. That's the most challenging part for us, is kind of getting them going, let's get us across the finish line. So I think, you know, sometimes people will exalt, you know, form over substance. And if they realize this, the opportunity is here to drive more tourist dollars, attract more people out to the East End, give them a better experience overall, finding a way to get that done quicker is really what needs to happen.
I think everybody wants breweries and everyone's into the craft beer scene, but I think it's true. It's kind of town by town, city by city. There's different codes that weren't really set up when this whole craft beer thing was happening. So we got a lot more to talk about on the show. We'll be back with one more segment. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're doing a special pre-record in August 2014 out at the new Greenport Harbor Brewery in Peconic, New York. We've got some great guys here, Rich, John, and DJ from Greenport Harbor Brewing, Greg Martin from Long Island, and Matt and Lori from Mustache. We've been talking about everything from town zoning to how to start a small brewery to creating a North Fork beer trip. So, all right, so DJ, what's this beer that we're drinking now?
So this is our number 5. This is our anniversary ale. Every year we've done, every summer since our first year, we've done a one-off to celebrate another year down, another year of not being unemployed. So our anniversary is in July. So we've always tended to, in previous years, kind of keep it lighter, more kind of summer-friendly, if you will. So this year we did decide to take it in a little bit of a new direction. We brewed a Belgian double, and a Belgian style double, and we decided along the way that we'd maybe throw some fruit in there, even though I've fairly publicly stated that I don't want to do fruit beer. But this isn't a fruit beer per se. But so what we did is we took a Belgian style double, pretty straight up standard recipe, and then aged it on tart red cherries. So the fruit is fairly subtle, but it's
you can really
there.
Taste the fruit.
It's all fruit.
All fruit.
No beer. No, it's good. I mean, it's like three philosophers, you know, from Omega Gang. That's a quad. But this is nice. I mean,
it's great.
Despite what I said, there are uses of fruit that are good. Lambics and...
Yeah, absolutely. And I can appreciate it. I just didn't want to be... I can think of another brewery that once very clearly stated they would never do a fruit beer, and it's now they're... I think they're number one.
Which brewery is that?
I don't know. I can't tell. I forget the name
of the brewery. So DJ, when you got started, I know you've been a brewer for a number of years, and we've interviewed before, but what were some beers that inspired you or still do inspire you that our listeners might know?
I'll tell you, the one beer that still gets me excited all the time, you know, as far as, like, seasonal releases and whatever, is Celebration Ale from Sierra Nevada. I still think that is absolutely the definitive American-style pale IPA. I know IPA has changed a lot since then, but that is the one beer I still go out and buy a case of every year. I just absolutely love that beer.
Cheers to that.
That's
a good one, too.
It's pretty badass beer.
It is. Okay, Nico's got a question for everybody, so this is the big question.
Is number five kind of indicative of what you might be doing at the newer brewery as far as experimenting?
Yeah, absolutely. I would think so. You know, we've been so pressed to keep up with the four full-time beers that we've had, you know, the Harbor Ale, Other Side IPA, Black Duck Porter, and then a seasonal beer. We really haven't had the opportunity to be as creative as we'd want to be, like to roll out new beers as frequently. So now having all this extra capacity, you know, being able to do those beers here at the big brewery and then just go down to the other brewery and just mess around is something I really look forward to. And, you know, I think the core beers are going to get better here at this brewery. The new brewery is definitely, it's more sophisticated, but I think it's going to be easier to really reproduce the quality beers that we're after. I'm really excited about how things are going to improve and then be able to be creative at the old brewery and blow those recipes up down here if it works out that way.
And we're a farm brewery, too, so actually, you know, the requirement that you have to use more New York locally sourced, you know, ingredients is kind of an additional interesting thing that we'll be able to do down there as well, where we actually, you had mentioned before, Jimmy, you know, you have a lot of hops going on. There are hop yards popping up all over on the East End. We just actually established a relationship with the Young's Farm up in Aquabog, and they have over 250 acres under their control. And they're going to start growing rye and wheat for us, as well as barley. So we're going to, you know, barley is the tougher crop to kind of really achieve a yield on that is large enough for, you know, manufacturing size. But they're totally excited. It's a free generation. We met with three generations, John and I, the other week. You know, the grandfather, the father, and the son, and they're all farmers, and they're all totally pumped to kind of jump in. And so we're really excited.
That sounds like a good name for a beer, doesn't it? Three generations.
Yeah, really.
So on that note, so for you guys, between Mustache, Long Island, and Greenport, do you think there will ever be a North Fork or East Long Island style of beer? You know, the way that in the North Fork, I know Cabernet Franc grows pretty well for grapes. You know, in the Pacific Northwest, they, you know, piloted all those great IPAs. Would there be a style you think that you could make here that would be world class?
I mean, I think I'll start, but I think that, you know, we've done the Cuvée Zan a couple of times, and that's where, you know, you're incorporating. What did I say that wrong?
No, I'm impressed you pronounced it correctly.
You've corrected
you're
me so many times.
It's the first time he's ever said it the right way in my presence.
I was impressed that he put a beret on his head before he said it.
But that's, to me, that's a, you know, utilizing, you know, local grapes. I mean, to me, it's exactly it. It's like, what makes North Fork really interesting? Well, certainly the grape culture is already here. Being able to incorporate local hops now and then, you know, potentially grain in the next year or so. It's totally on the horizon for all of us, and to be able to avail ourselves of the local ingredients, even on the East End of Long Island. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, we're going to work on an all cauliflower beer. Should be really good. Throw a little broccoli in as well.
No, but for real, from you, what would you, of the beers you make, what would you hope would be the style of people say this is a East Long Island beer?
You know what? It's a fresh great out. Question, but it's I don't really have an answer for that. I mean, yeah. you know, like Rich and DJ and John were saying, as far as collaboration wise, you know, we're doing some work with some of the local vineyards, you know, as far as for barrel aging and Merlot barrels and things like that. So I think what will happen is that natural progression, like Rich is saying, of the wineries and the breweries kind of starting to intertwine their fingers together and start to blend that. So I think that is a natural progression that will come. I know, like, you know, Paul from Blind Bat Brewery, who's not a North Fork brewery, but he works with, you know, Long Island Potatoes and his potato stout. You know, so I think you will see just natural progression between what we have locally available as the breweries continue to grow and our feet get, you know, more and more planted out here within what we have around us. I think it's just, you know, I don't know where it's going to go, but I think it'll go somewhere.
Anika, what did you say for the style?
I feel like fresh hop ale right now, and we're close to the harvest, but I think everybody has done.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And like, mustache. Are you guys going to do a fresh hop ale this year?
I don't know.
But if like, you did.
I'm sure we will. Once hop harvest hits, yeah.
Where would you get your hops? Because you guys are fairly small.
Yeah, and we've been talking to John Kinsella. He's got a good hop farm there. Also, maybe farm
to plant.
You know,
well.
Not sure what they're doing as far as releasing hops right now, but
they're just down the street here, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's just there's hop right and it says farm to plant.
That's Van Morgendien is his name.
We've also been talking to North Fork Hops.
Chris North up there. Cornell, Cliff Cornell. Another big yard. He's actually got 3 acres in. He's planting another 3 acres next year.
Yeah,
he's doing some aromatic hops. You know, he just started.
So you
out
think
with
the East End of Long Island is a great place for growing hops?
Yeah,
I think it's I think it's totally doable.
Yeah,
you know, it's humidity can be a little tricky. You know, and that's you know, we don't. I mean, certainly the Northwest doesn't suffer from that as much as we do, but. Certainly kind of the core styles do very well. So I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunity. And then with Chris doing some of these aromatic hops, you know, which now seem to be kind of like leading the way out west, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that comes along.
What are some hop varieties that do really well out here on Long Island?
Cascade, right?
Cascade. A lot of people are starting to grow Centennials now.
Nuggets.
Yeah, the Nuggets.
Warrior.
We grew some... Justin, our sales guy, is growing some Santium for us just to try something different, you know, little, something that's a hop variety that's a little bit harder to find. So
yeah, Willamettes are growing now, too.
I think Chris is actually trying some Galaxy, too.
Is there another place in the world that you would compare the climate to for the East End of Long Island in terms of hop growing?
I mean, it's pretty close to the same, whatever it is, longitude or latitude as, you know, out in Oregon and Washington. We're on the same kind of... but you know, beyond that, I'm not sure. Other than, you know, I don't know if you carry that all the way over to Europe, if it would be the same or not.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in my previous life as a distiller, it was always compared to the Burgundy region of France. But they grow grapes; they're not hops.
You guys are just trying it out, and it's your own original. So this kind of like this is original beer. It wasn't really a tradition of brewing out here, was there? I mean, it was mostly potato farms going back 100 years.
Even the wineries
were fairly new.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, the wineries are probably, 30 years?
Yeah, 40 years.
Yes, back in the 70s, I think.
What's a typical day? So, I mean, I come out here sometimes in Mattituck, so I take the bus, and I get off at the Four Doors Bar in Mattituck, and every once in a while I hear someone talking about, hey, you know, in those days when it was just the potato farmers, and everyone kind of laughs because it's kind of the insider bar. But on one hand, I was impressed that they had Long Island Celtic on draft, but then for the most part, all of their beers were just kind of Bud and mainstream beers. You know, what is the scene like out here? I mean, I know that there's tourists coming in, and New York City is a great beer market, but out here, actually, in the East End of Long Island, do the people actually drink craft beer, or they're drinking Bud Light?
Yeah, I mean, right down the road from there, you head down south along the water, and there's a bar called Legends, and it's owned by a gentleman, Dennis, and he's been doing craft for... ever. I mean, he's doing craft out here before anybody was doing craft out here. And I think he just added more taps again out there. I think, what is it, 24
now?
Yeah,
24.
24 taps. I think he has 2 cask engines. You know, so he's kind of, for the North Fork area, he's probably the biggest and oldest craft guy around that's been, you know, on the bar side of the business, bar and restaurant side, serving great food, serving great beer. And I think what you'll see from you ever talk with him is, you know, he was a big import guy, you know, because there wasn't craft when he started. So he was doing all imports, heavy imports and stuff, and he still has some imports, but now he's gone craft and he really supports all the locals. So you're seeing more and more of it, and as restaurants turn over and a new bar owner comes in, they're going craft. So there's, you know, with some of these older places, you know, they're I think getting into craft because they realize if they don't, they're going to die on the vine. But the new places that are opening up, out in Greenport Village, there's definitely a lot of craft out there. And, you know, Barbecue Bill's, and you know, there's a lot of good places that have opened up out there that are, you know, doing craft out there.
So Nico's been part of our Good Brew Seal Committee. It's primarily giving out awards to top craft beer bars in New York City. But with Nico, we've expanded into Long Island. What are the beer bars on Long Island that we've awarded the Good Brew Seal to, Nico?
Well, for the first year, we did Tap and Barrel.
And what? Just tell the towns, too.
Tap and Barrel's in Smithtown. And then we did TJ Finley's in Bayshore. And we did the Black Sheep Ale House in Mineola, and that was last year. And this year we inducted the Good Life in Massapequa Park.
All right. Those are places that you guys sell to regularly, or would?
Yeah.
All right. What about for you guys? You got Mustache. If someone had to say in 2 years, Mustache would be this. What would you guys be? Still open? Or? I know how tough it is.
We'll see.
We're going to be running the world, actually, in 2 years. It's all about the big picture. I mean, we have some plans, actually, even though we just opened a couple months ago. You know, we're already looking to expand. We should be, hopefully, up on bigger fermenters by the end of the year. We have a loan in the works right now, which is a little scary, but it's like, you know, taking out a mortgage on something we can't sleep in is kind of nerve-wracking. But, I mean, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
That feeling wears off after a while.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I've gotten...
It really becomes just
like,
numbness. It doesn't really wear off. It's just numbness.
I was just going to say, like, when we did the loan, we had to sit down and write down the list of all the credit card debt, and I was like, whatever. Like, it could be worse. You know, so... Yeah, I mean, we're looking to just get bigger fermenters. That's really, like, our pinch point on brewing is so we're looking to upgrade to some 7-barrel fermenters, which is going to be, like, some back-to-back 2.5 batch brews. We're kind of crazy like that, so, you know, definitely be crazy to be in this business. But
So Greg and Lori Mess, you guys didn't really plan to come to Riverhead. Riverhead welcomed you, and now it's become a little brewing town.
We actually planned for Riverhead.
You did?
Yeah, and because in the brewing industry, one of the wonderful things that you can find with a building is sewers.
Yeah.
So a lot of Long Island does not have sewer districts, but Riverhead happens to be one of the towns that does. So we were eyeing Riverhead for a while. We felt that, you know, we watched over the last 20 years how Patchogue has changed, and you know, a lot of people, me and myself included, would say that Blue Point played a big part in that revival of that town, which is nowhere near the way it is today 20 years ago.
It's a
you know, hustle and bustling main street full of great bars and restaurants that the community's really embraced. We felt that Riverhead had that same opportunity in time. And, you know, it's always a slow go. It's never an overnight thing. But we just felt between the sewers and having that Main Street aspect to it that we're fairly close to, we felt that it was a good opportunity to be there.
Even just the past year and a half that Matt and I have been in the location that we're in, just doing the construction, we've seen so many changes in downtown Riverhead. It's crazy. Like, we actually just moved to downtown Riverhead in the spring, and it's totally up and coming. There's so many things that are going to be opening on me. I mean, we're going from, like, every building shuttered for the most part to when, you know, we first got the location for the brewery to, like, you know, it's just, there's probably, like, 6 or 7 places on Main Street that should be opening in the next month or so. New restaurants, you know, bars, there's just everything. Like, it's really an exciting time.
You're doing a lot of work down there, for sure.
Yeah, like, we grew up in Islip, so we watched the same transition with Bayshore. Bayshore was just nothing for a while when we were younger, and then it just became this awesome, like, fun Main Street town with bars, and you could just park somewhere and go out to eat and go out, you know, hit a couple craft beer places, and, you know, it's just great to be, we're really excited to be, like, part of this, like, revival of this town, you know, so...
Craft brewery is good. They create economy and jobs.
Yeah.
And people
are
talking.
People
about
come
that.
In, they spend up, they go to other places,
yeah.
And then they go out to restaurants. It's
and we find so much too. Like, especially, like, for us, people come in, you know, a lot of times out of town. We send them to the, you know, to Long Island and Crooked Ladder if they haven't been there. Where do we go to eat? You know, go check out these places, you know. So people are coming and spending in town, which is great. You know, we're not sending them to the commercial places that are up on 58. We're sending everyone to local mom-and-pop businesses, and that's really, that's what's going to keep it going, you know, is all these new places.
That's awesome. Who wants to wrap it up? DJ, Rich, anything else you want to say about the new brewery out here? How about this? What's the
buy
new brewery?
Buyer beer, we have bills to pay.
What's going to be either your flagship beer or your like hoppiest beer? Or what do you think would be your most popular beer going forward?
I mean, the beer world's all about hops right now. Having all this added capacity.
Hopnami's.
Oh, yeah, Hopnami.
Hopnami's on the schedule for Wednesday.
Nice. Good beer.
Coming back. First hoppy batch in the new brewery. So we'll see how that goes. We have high hopes. Hopefully I don't break anything.
And then we're hoping to package by probably, well, we're not sure if it'll be this fall, but definitely by the spring. So we'll be releasing packages.
You do bottles or cans?
Bottles.
Bottles.
Bottles, yeah.
So you're also going to put in a bottling line?
Yep. Yeah, there's plans for a bottling line in the back. Yep.
In a restaurant, right? 100?
Yeah, we're sitting in what, you know, will be hopefully next year. A restaurant brew pub over here as well. Yeah, we got 14 taps, and it's about almost 4,000 square feet, so we got about 130 seats that we can have here.
In here will be the...
It'll be there's actually an addition.
So it looks like a tasting room, but it's
this will be a tasting room. But there's another 2,000 square foot addition that we're putting on off the side.
So lots to look forward to. But for this coming couple weekends, Labor Day weekend, you can come out to Greenport Harbor, and both Peconic and Greenport, right?
Yes.
You can get beers.
Yep.
And you guys in Riverhead.
Yep.
Long Island Mustache. Yeah. You can go out over Labor Day weekend and get some beers
because
that's going to be the fun part of everything. So I'd like to say thank you to everybody. This is a special pre-record. It will be airing on August 19th. We had a great summer, July Good Brew Month. A lot of good things happening in New York City and New York in general. And I want to give a thank you to everyone, to Heritage Radio Network. It's worth checking out, heritageradionetwork.org. You should be members. Beer Sessions Radio records every Tuesday out at Roberta's in Bushwick. Greatbrewers.com is our sponsor. And thanks to everyone on the show tonight. We've got Rich, John, DJ, Greg, Nika, Lori, Matt. Thanks to our engineer Jack Inslee and producers Maggie and Justin. Thanks so much for joining me here. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.